So let's go ahead today. Today is August the 13th, 2023, and we're going to be on lesson number 12 today, eventually here. I'm going to try to finish up what I didn't finish last week. I want you today, if you would, I want you to take time to read our bulletin. On the inside, I put something there for you. I would like for you to see it. I got an email this week from Pastor Milad Khaled over in Lebanon. And this is what he wrote in here. He said, just today, I knew that our pastor in Yemen is on the run for his life because they arrested one of his disciples and they knew that they were torturing him to give the names of other believers in the city. So he escaped and went from Taiz city to Ab city, which is controlled by the Houthi group who are affiliated with Iran. This took place when they had a prayer meeting as a group and they were praying for the baptism of two new converts and for a bakery that was supposed to be opened and to use the profit to help the poor and to be a tool to reach the Yemenis. At that time, they knew that the brother was arrested. Please note that we provided for him through Dr. Fagali an amount which is close to $6,000 to buy the bakery. Hopefully, we'll be able to continue to communicate with him because from other similar experiences, he tries to be with a low profile and less communication so they won't know where he is. Your prayers are deeply and very much appreciated. And I'll try to keep you updated as much as I can as I receive information from him. Folks, persecution is real today. In our churches, persecution is real. And so many times we don't realize what real, true persecution is. We don't have a clue. Folks today get upset because somebody tells them, you know, I'm going to fire you if you tell somebody about Jesus, or they slam a door in your face if you try to tell them about the Lord, or they won't take your gospel tract, or they take it and they throw it on the ground and they step on it and all this other stuff. That's nothing compared to these folks. They're being taken, arrested, tortured, okay, to give the names of other Christians so they can shut down their churches. And folks, we need to pray for these folks. We need to pray for them. I know that America has its problems, but folks, America is still the best country to ever live in, you could ever live in. And you know, the thing about it is, if you know Christ is your Savior, we know that it's well with our soul. But we need to pray for those dear folks that are going through some of these tortures right now. And we need to pray that God will help them, strengthen them to stand true to the Word of God. And I just want to encourage you with that today, okay? All right, let's go ahead today. The lesson today is entitled, Woe to Rulers, Priests, and Prophets. And it's going to be from the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. And our theme verse today is from Micah, chapter 3, verse 11. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. And the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. That's the attitude that the prophets, the priests, and the rulers had. They were lying, they were cheating, they were stealing, they were doing things wicked. And yet they said, we're leaning on the Lord. We know God. Nothing can happen to us. Nothing's going to happen to us. And yet they did not realize that God's judgment hand was going to be upon them. And you know, I want to remind you of something today. God despises covetous pride and materialism in the lives of His children. Our lives today should not be centered around wanting what everybody else has got. Our Christian lives today should not be focused upon the prosperity of this world. Okay? I got an email I got a note this past week from somebody that's in one of these churches that teaches about the prosperous Christian life. And they were having a big healing crusade out in Colorado. And Benny Hinn was going to be one of their main healers there that day. And I thought, God help us. If that's what we're in this for, we're in trouble today, folks. We're in a mess of trouble. But I want you to see some things, and I want to try to finish out what I started last week and then go into the lesson today. And I want you to see some things. Last Sunday we saw how that the Lord God indeed is the God of second opportunity. We saw that with Jonah. Remember that? God gave Jonah a second opportunity to do what he had commanded him to do. And what did he command him to do? Was to go to Nineveh and to preach what God said preach. Preach the message that in 40 days, what was going to happen? Destruction was coming to Nineveh. It was going to happen. Judgment was coming, and God was going to send that judgment. Jonah didn't want to go. Why? Because Jonah knew how that these Ninevites had tortured the children of Israel. They had treated them badly. They had put them to death. They had enslaved them. They had done all manner of wicked and evil against them. And even, listen to me, even in the light of all that, Jonah was not trusting God. Jonah said, those folks don't deserve salvation. They don't deserve your goodness upon them. Let me put a little parenthesis right there just a moment. Neither do you or I. We don't deserve it either. But man, thank God that God was willing to send us the message of the gospel. And every time I see a Jewish person, the very first thing I try to tell them is, man, I just want to say thank you. And I try to shake their hand because you people gave us Gentile dogs the gospel. And we now know Christ because of you. Now, some of them don't like that. Okay, they don't like that. They still think of us as Gentile dogs, okay? But you know what, folks? Were it not for those Jews that got saved, you and I wouldn't have the message of the Word of God today. We wouldn't have the opportunity for a second chance to hear the message. Even a first chance, we wouldn't have had it had they not given us the Word of God. And so I thank God for that. And so we saw last week while God had blessed and over 120,000 people came to know Christ and know God. They repented of their sin. They turned from their wicked ways and they turned unto God. Jonah was still all upset about it because he didn't think they deserved it. He didn't think that God ought to have given them an opportunity to be saved. He wanted God to just destroy them. And when I was thinking about the lesson this week, and I got to say this, I had to apologize to the Lord this week. Because sometimes I get to thinking the same way. When people do you wrong, and the world, the way that it is today, treating our Christian families and things like that, the way they treat them. And you know what the first thing I do? And I know this may sound stupid, and you probably don't do this, but I do. I still got an old flesh I deal with. Amen. And I just pray. I say, Lord, why don't you just come back, take us out of here, and just wipe out the rest of them. I find myself doing that. And after going through the lesson and seeing that, being reminded that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I get to thinking, man, if there had been somebody that was praying like that before I got saved, and the Lord had said, okay, I think you're right, I'm just going to do it. You know where I'd be today? I'd be in hell today. And I got to thinking, man, Lord, I don't want to pray selfish. I need to pray, God, that you would give me strength and courage and boldness and a tender heart to continue to tell folks about Jesus while we can. Because there is coming a day that we're not going to be able to do this again. And when the Lord Jesus does come back and he calls his children out and he sends his judgment down, the judgment is going to come upon those folks. But up in heaven, you and I are going to be standing before him. And we're going to give account unto God how we have served him since we've been saved. And folks, at that point in time, there will not be another opportunity for anybody to go and tell somebody about Jesus. There will not be an opportunity for us to go back and tell our families and tell our neighbors and tell our friends and the folks that we work with about a Savior that loves them and cares for them and wants them to be saved. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, Lord, I don't want to stand before you empty-handed. And I don't want to stand before you having known that I prayed so selfishly that I would pray that you just take me out so I could enjoy a better day and send your judgment down on these other folks. I don't want that. And folks, we don't need to pray like that. I do long for the Lord to come back. And I know you do too. I want to see him. I want to be with him. I know I'm going to be with him. I want to see him face to face. I want to just thank him for all he's done. But not at the sake of folks dying and going to hell. Does that make sense to you? I mean, I'm just trying to say, sometimes we pray very selfishly. And I find myself doing the same thing. And I have to stop and just ask the Lord to forgive me. I don't want to be upset. When you read the book of Jonah, the very last things you read about this is he's all upset with God. And you know what? I don't want to be upset with God. And then the Lord does come back, and I have not served him with the right attitude. I've not done what I ought to do for him because I was mad at God. Because he didn't let me have my way, or he didn't do a certain thing for me, or whatever other reason. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen for me. I don't want that to happen for you. And I want to ask you today, take the time to ask God to give you strength and a broken heart for folks around you. If there was ever a time the church, the body of Christ, needs broken hearts, it's right now. Amen. It's right now. And we need to continue to tell folks about Christ. God said in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, he said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. That is God's desire today. Now, I'm not going to go through all the rest of this. I don't have time. I want to get into the lesson today. When we come to the book of Micah, right after the book of Jonah, we come to the book of Micah, and God's concern for his chosen people was to love and honor him for who he was and who he is. The same God of Jonah's day, the same God of Hosea's day, the same God of Micah's day, is the same God that you and I serve today. And God wants him, his people to honor him. Now, God's chosen people, Israel, okay? God had a plan for them. They were to be the witnesses of God upon this earth. And because they turned away from God, God was having to bring judgment on their lives. And now using the men of God, like Hosea and Amos and Isaiah and even Jonah, God now chooses yet another man, Micah, to preach and to declare his anger, not to the people around them, around the Jewish people, but to his own chosen people. You know, I think this is an Old Testament picture of what we read in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. You remember when John is told to write these things, and the very first thing he talks about is the seven churches? And you see Jesus walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. You see him talking and right there in the midst of the churches. And it starts out with the church of Ephesus. And he's telling about all the things that they do and all the things that they have done and they continue to do. And yet, Jesus had one thing against them. And let me tell you what it was. It was that they had left their first love. What they were doing mechanically. What they were doing for selfish reasons. We've always done it this way. Our church, this is what we built our church upon. Okay? Souls are being saved. They hated sin. They hated wickedness. They hated the evildoers. But they needed to love the Lord Jesus and be doing what they did for the Lord, not for themselves. And then when you get down to chapter number 3, verse number 20, you find going through those seven churches, he's standing and he's having John send a letter to the church of Laodicea. And now instead of walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and instead of being in the midst of the churches and with the pastors, you find the Lord Jesus standing outside the church. The door is closed, and Jesus is standing there knocking and asking that church to let him in. Folks, I think that's what we're seeing in our world today. Religion without a Savior. Religious buildings without the Savior walking in the midst of it. And folks, when we look at the book of Micah, that's what we're seeing with Israel. And he pronounces woe unto the rulers, the priests, the prophets. I'm not going to take all the time here to cover about Micah, but his origin here in verse number 1, Micah chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moresthite, in the days of Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria. If you go to verse 14, we find that Micah was a resident of the city of, and let me see if I can pronounce this right, Moresheth Gath, okay, which is a community, a province, an area near Gath, okay, near the Philistinian areas. And according to Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 18, it was a village in Judah near the Philistine city of Gath, okay? That's where Micah was from. He prophesied during the reigns of Jotham, of Ahaz, and Hezekiah, which were all three kings of Judah. And if you look in this book, all that Micah prophesies, according to verse number 1, they concern both Samaria, okay, as well as Jerusalem. And the word of God is going to come to him in three basic segments. If you'll look at Micah chapter 1, verses 2 through Micah chapter 2, verse 13, you're going to see in Micah chapter 1, it says, hear all ye people. Chapter 1, verse 2, hear all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. That's some sad words, folks. Go over to Micah chapter 3, verse number 1. And it goes all the way through Micah chapter 5, verse 15. You see here the command is given, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Don't you understand that judgment is coming? The third segment begins in Micah chapter 6, verse 1, and goes to the end of the book, which is chapter 7, verse 20. And here the command is going to be given, Hear ye now what the Lord saith. And in those three segments, I want you to understand the problem in Israel's day, which is the same problem that we have in most churches today. They have refused to hear the word of the Lord. Today, churches and this crowd that's following after these false prophets, these false teachers, they're looking for something extra biblical, okay, outside of the word of God. These false teachers are saying, I had a dream and Jesus appeared to me. This is what he said I needed to do. Listen, folks, everything you need to know is right here. And Jesus is not dealing in that way today in most churches. Most churches have forsaken the Word of God. They've got these perverted versions of the Word of God. I was ordering gospel tracts yesterday. And the three places I was trying to order gospel tracts, I could only find one place that sold any gospel tracts that told about the reality of hell. And let me tell you why. It's because they've changed their versions of the Bible. And the new versions have taken hell out because it is offensive. The latest version of that heresy is the new ESV version that everybody's using now. The ESV. I don't know what it stands for, but it stinks. And it's bad. And it's taken out the truth of the Word of God. And God is using Micah here in this book to say to his people, hear, all ye people, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob and ye princes of the house of Israel. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Hear me, God is saying. And what is he telling them? He's telling them about the approaching destruction. Now I want you to see Micah's broken heart, his lament over the destruction that's about to come. Look at chapter 1, Micah chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. Micah begins by calling all the earth to hear the accusations being brought against the people of God from God. And this is what he says. Hear, all ye people. Hearken, all ye earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you. The Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Egypt is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria as a heap of the field and as plantings of a vineyard, and I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the fountains thereof, and all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces. And all the hires, the people that were hired thereof, shall be burned with fire. And all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she gathereth it of the hire of an harlot, and they shall return to the hire of an harlot. Boy, God has Micah paint the picture of God entering into a sort of heavenly courtroom. And he's got them on trial. And the judge says, I've got an accusation against you. And God announces those accusations from his holy temple, from his holy place. God says, you are my chosen people, but I've got something against you here. And he says, as he enters the courtroom, and just imagine this in your mind, as Almighty God enters into that heavenly courtroom, everything just melts before him. Everything around Israel realizes who this is. And yet the very chosen people of God have forsaken him, have turned him away, don't recognize him as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. And judgment falls upon all the graven images that have been erected in the places of a pagan idol worship and open rebellion against the Lord God. Judgment falls down upon them. Verses 6 and 7, Micah declares how the northern kingdom and its capital of Samaria would be the first to experience the judgment hand of Almighty God. And it would come down upon them. And then in verses 8 through 16, Judah was going to have judgment brought against them. Now look at his lament, verses 8 through 16. Listen to the grief in the voice of the prophet Micah. Listen to what he said. Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls, for her wound is incurable. For it has come unto Judah. He has come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Declare ye it, not at Gath. Weep ye not at all. In the house of Aphra, roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sapphir, having thy shame naked. The inhabitant of Zaanan came not forth in the morning of Beth-Azel. He shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Marath waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beasts. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion. For the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Moresheth Gath. The houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Marashah. He shall come unto Adullam, the glory of Israel. Make thee bold, and poll thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy boldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity from thee. I want you to understand something this morning, folks. It always grieves the heart of the man of God when God's people willingly choose to disregard the word of God. And Micah's heart was grieved because the people refused to listen to the word of God. And they chose to openly mock. They chose to openly disobey God's commandments. Micah's heart was broken for his people. His heart was broken at the thought of coming judgment that was coming upon them for their continued sin and their continued rebellion against God. And in verse number 10, look at what it said. Micah cries out, declare ye not it at Gath, weep ye not at all in the house of Aphra, roll thyself in the dust. All the anguish and all the sorrow being expressed by the man of God, all of those things before the people of God is only at best a small representation of the sorrow of Almighty God's heart for his people. God's heart was broken. Why? Because his people had turned away from him. Now you think about this morning. After all that God had done in delivering them out of Egypt and providing for them all those years and bringing them into the promised land that he had promised to give unto them, after all that God had done for them, they turned away from God, and God's heart was broken. How much more do you think God's heart is broken today for those within the body of Christ? After God gave his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die and to suffer such agony so that you and I could be able to go to heaven, and yet we choose to disregard God's word. We choose to put it on the back burner. We choose to just do whatever we want to do instead of doing what God says do. How much more do you think the heart of God must be broken in our day, even as it was broken in the days of Micah and Hosea and all these other men of God? Folks, I'm telling you, Micah had a broken heart for his people. And we can see that. He talks about it. But God's heart was broken even more. Now, I want you to see something here in Micah chapter number 2. I want you to see Micah's warning to the evildoers. He first gives warning to the people. And the man of God declares unto the people in verses 1 through 5, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, we be utterly spoiled. He has changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he had divided our fields. Therefore, thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Oh, sinful pride. They laid on their beds and they just thought about what evil they could do. Does that not sound like today? Every time you turn around, such wicked thoughts and imaginations are going through men's hearts. Their desires were worldly in nature. They desired to be prosperous above being holy in the eyes of God. And folks, when you substitute prosperity for a holiness, you're in trouble with God. You're in trouble with God. Their witness for God amongst the heathen lands and pagan lands around them was forever gone. And their witness for the lost, for gain and for physical materialism. Listen, all those things that they were doing only brought sorrow to the heart of God. Kind of sounds like the days of Noah, does it not? When God looked down and he said it just broke his heart that he even made man. So it was in the days of Micah and Hosea and Amos and all the other men of God. He not only warns the people, but then he warns the prophets. Look at this, verses 6 through 11, Micah chapter 2. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them that they shall not take shame. What's he saying? They're not ashamed of sin anymore. They're not ashamed of sin. Look what else the Bible said. O thou that are called the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? And let me say right there, God's word does do good to those that work upright, walk uprightly. Listen, when the word of God is active in your heart, your wonder is going to be different than what it used to be before you got saved. God's word will change your heart. Look at what he said. Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. The women of my people have you cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have you taken away my glory forever. In other words, they are accountable for the next generation. Their wickedness had brought God's judgment upon them. Arise ye and depart, For this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. Boy, you know what? These false prophets spake only that which pleased the hearts of ungodly people. And is that not what we're seeing in our world today? Coming to the church, feel good. Leaving the church, feeling better, and never hear about your sin. Folks, we're in a wicked situation. But Micah still gives them hope in the God that they had forgotten and turned themselves away from in verses 12 and 13. And look at what he said. He said, there's a promise. There's future restoration. He said, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozra, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. God wanted his people to know that one day he was going to restore that remnant. And you know what? One day God is going to do that. He's going to do away with all evil. And boy, they ought to have looked to that day as a promise from God, but they were not doing that. And now in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, I'm going to try to go through this really quick. Let me check the real time here. Yeah, I'm really running behind. But he gives a message against the leaders. And I want you to see this. In verses 1 through 4, he gives a message of warning against the rulers. In verses 5 through 8, he gives a message of warning against the prophets. And in verses 9 through 12, he gives warning against rulers and priests and prophets. And listen to what he says, verses 9 through 12. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward. In other words, they can be bribed. Okay? You give me enough money and I'll give you what you want. That's what they're saying. They judge for a reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. They're a bunch of hirelings. They're not teaching the word of God. They're doing it because they got a position and not a possession. Yeah. Now look what he said. And the prophets thereof divine for money. You give me enough money and I'll tell you how good things are going to be for you. You send me $100 as a seed plant, and I'll send you this miracle water, and God will bless you. Oh, God. That's what he's talking about, folks. They divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord one day. Yet will they lean upon the Lord. And they say, is not the Lord among us? You know what they do? They say, we're Christians, just like you. Man, God is with us. Look how God has prospered us. Look at all God has given us, our $75 million houses and all these things that we get. None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion, for your sake, be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Listen, folks. God's judgment was coming upon these people. And God sent men to declare that judgment. These men were willing to do what God said do, because they wanted the people of God to turn from their wicked ways and turn back to God. You know what? Every time our pastor stands, and sometimes I've had folks that said, well, I got offended at the pastor's message. Listen, if he's preaching the word of God and it speaks to your heart, do something about it. Get back to the word of God. Why? Because one day judgment is coming upon this world. And we, as God's people, we must get the gospel to the lost before it's eternally too late. I've got to close. Our time is gone. But let's pray, and we'll pick up next week. Father, Lord, I do love you today. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given unto me to preach your word. And Lord, to try to be that witness for you, to warn people of the coming judgment. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll help folks to turn back unto you and to get into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get in them. Speak to hearts today, Lord. And God, if there be anybody listening to the sound of my voice that's lost and in their sin and on their way to a devil's hell, God, I pray, Lord, today that you'd speak to them. Help them, Lord, to turn from their wicked ways and turn unto you and be saved before it's eternally too late. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Be with our pastor this morning. Honor he and his wife on this, their wedding anniversary. I pray, God, you'll bless them. Use him, God, to speak to our hearts today in the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.